Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 24. The philosophy of Sankhya. Verse texts 13 and 14. 13 doesn't have a purport. Let me just read that first. Ado suranam naganam buner okos vija prabhu trilokyam gataya sarva karmanam trigunatmanam. Lord Brahma created the region below the earth for the demons and the Naga snakes. In this way, the destinations of the three worlds were arranged as the corresponding reactions for different kinds of work performed within the three modes of nature. And text 14. Yogasya,
yogasya,
tapasya,
tapasya,
shaiva,
shaiva,
nyasasya,
nyasasya,
gatayo,
gatayo,
mala,
mala,
mahar,
mahar,
jana,
jana,
tapa,
tapa,
satyam,
satyam,
bhakti,
bhakti,
yogasya,
yogasya,
mahar,
gati,
gati, yogasya tapasaschaiva,
yogasya tapasaschaiva,
yasasya gatayo mala,
yasasya gatayo
mala, maharjanas tapasatya,
maharjanas tapasatyam,
bhakti yogasya madgati,
bhakti yogasya madgati,
yogasya tapasaschaiva,
yogasya tapasaschaiva,
yasasya gatayo mala,
yasasya gatayo mala,
maharajanas tapasatya,
maharajanas tapasatyam,
bhakti yogasya madgati,
bhakti yogasya madgati,
yogasya tapasaschaiva,
yogasya tapasaschaiva,
yasasya gatayo mala,
yasasya gatayo mala,
maharajanas tapasatya,
maharajanas tapasatyam,
bhakti yogasya madgati,
bhakti yogasya madgati,
sya
yogasya,
of mystic yoga,
of mystic yoga,
tapasa,
tapasa,
of great austerity,
of great austerity,
cha,
cha,
and
yeah.
Eva,
Eva,
certainly,
certainly,
Nyasasya,
Nyasasya,
of the renounced order of life,
of the renounced order of life,
Gataya,
Gataya,
destinations,
destinations,
Amala,
Amala,
spotless,
spotless,
Maha,
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 Jana,
Jana,
Janas,
Janas,
Tapa,
Tapa,
Tapas,
tapas,
satyam,
satyam,
satya,
satya,
bhakti yogasya,
bhakti yogasya,
of devotional service,
of devotional service,
mat,
mat,
my,
my,
gati,
gati,
destination,
destination,
translation, by mystic yoga, great austerities, and the renounced order of life, the pure destinations of Mahaloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, and Satyaloka are attained. But by devotional yoga, one achieves my transcendental abode. Purport. Srila Jiva Goswami explains that the word tapasa in this verse refers to austerities performed by brahmacharis and vanaprastas. A brahmachari who practices celibacy perfectly in some particular stage of his life achieves mahaloka, and one who perfectly practices lifelong celibacy achieves Janaloka. By perfect execution of Vanaprastha, one may achieve Tapaloka, and one in the renounced order of life goes to Satyaloka. These different destinations certainly depend on one's seriousness in the yoga system. In the third canto of the Bhagavatam, Lord Brahma explains to the demigods, quote, "The inhabitants of Vaikuntha travel in the airplanes made of lapis lazuli, emeralds and gold, although crowded by their consorts, who have large hips and beautiful smiling faces. They cannot be stimulated to passion by their mirth and beautiful charms." Srimad Bhagavatam 3.15.20. Thus, in the spiritual world, the kingdom of God, the inhabitants have absolutely no desire for personal satisfaction, since they are completely satisfied in love of Godhead. Because they only think of the Lord's pleasure, there is no possibility of cheating, anxiety, lust, disappointment, and so on. As described in Bhagavad Gita 18.62, Tam eva sharanam gacha sarva bhavena bharata tatkasadat param shantim stanam prapsyasi shashvatam. O Sayana of Bharat, surrender unto him utterly. By his grace, you will attain transcendental peace and the supreme and eternal abode. Adho suranam naganam bhumir oko srijat prabhu trilokyam gataya sarva karamanam trigunatmanam. Lord Brahma created the region below the earth for the demons and the naga snakes. In this way, the destinations of the three worlds were arranged as the corresponding reactions for different kinds of work performed within the three modes of nature. Yogasya tapasaschaiva nyasasya gatayomala maharjanas tapasachyam Bhakti Yogasya Madgati. By mystic yoga, great austerities, and the renounced order of life, the pure destinations of Mahaloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, and Satyaloka are attained. But by devotional yoga, one achieves my transcendental abode. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutalaya Jinnah Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Vastutya Adeshacharane Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vastati Gauravani Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare. Vajkavatruvya stankikva sindhuvyevaja padidana bhavanevyo vashnaveva namonava. So Lord Krishna is continuing his instructions on the philosophy of Sankhya to Uddhava. This is continuing the Uddhava Gita. This all is Bhagavad Gita. Lord Krishna speaks to Arjuna. We all are quite familiar with that. That is really, mainly at least, to get people started, to get people on the path back home, back to Godhead, as opposed to being off the path and just lost in this material world. So that is really the purpose of Bhagavad Gita, to get people situated in Krishna consciousness, from being situated in material consciousness. And now Uddhava Gita, which is the majority of the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, is in many ways to take us on further. So, this chapter then is titled The Philosophy of Sankhya. Sankhya, as we have mentioned in some of the previous days, Sankhya means to enumerate, count, in the sense not just of counting 1, 2, 3, although that counting is there, but to count and place in hierarchical positions, higher to lower, lower to higher, and like that, relative to each other, and also to analyze the, in the sense of being interrelated component parts of the greater whole. So Sankhya means like that, and in the Vedic context it means to do that, to undergo that sort of process in regard to the, particularly, first of all, at least the material creation, and then spirituality also, to analyze the material world in terms of its ingredients, and their different levels, like earth, water, fire, air, ether. So Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita describes or refers to earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, false ego. So Sankhya, that of course Krishna's presentation in Bhagavad Gita is part of bhakti, is part of devotional service, understanding the material world in the context of how it's related with Krishna and trying to utilize it in the service of Krishna, but in another sense just to know earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, false ego, like that. This is also part of Sankhya, and earth is on, of those eight elements, earth is on the lowest level, then earth, water, fire, air, ether, progressively higher, and finally the highest is false ego. So Sankhya will understand the material nature in these types of terms, and even specifically in regard to these eight, they will be understood in those terms. And then, yes, so we have water, for example. Here we have some water. Valpre, is it? What is it?
Sirius.
Oh, it's Eryx. So, but then they do often chemical analyses, and they find there's, I believe they're particularly concerned about sodium and anyway various other ingredients or sort of trace elements, whatever you might say. Although essentially it's water, or mainly it's water, and you look at it and immediately you'll just say, ah, water. But actually there are other things in there, and sodium and whatever else it may be, these types of elements, they're not part of water. They're part of earth. Yes. They're part of earth. So what we accept as water is not water as such in the strict sense of the term. But it is water, where I'm sure it's predominantly water, but also mixed with, in this case, different types of earth, or different parts of earth. You can break earth down into different types or different parts of earth like that. And yes, and what comes out of the tap is something else again. It usually, well, I believe it has fluoride. To my knowledge, fluoride is also part of earth and anyway, like this. So, and earth, strictly speaking, earth means matter, which can be seen, heard, touched, smelt, and what's the other one?
Tasted.
Okay. Whereas water is matter which can be seen, heard, touched, and tasted, am I right? But not smelt. Something like this. Yeah. So this is strictly speaking how we would analyze these things. Not just, you know, this is a cup of water and that's it, it's a cup of water. But it's matter in a certain state. So yeah, like that. And then you get down to ether. When you get down to air, it can only be touched. It can't be seen, as we know. It can't be tasted, can't be smelled, and it can't, whatever else, be heard. So, yeah. So, Sankhya, then. Sankhya is that process of analyzing the material nature, and there is spiritual Sankhya, there's Vaishnava Sankhya, there is just completely materialistic Sankhya. It begins basically on the lower levels of material existence and goes more and more refined, until eventually it comes to the most refined and most subtle parts of matter. And then spiritual Sankhya will then take into consideration Brahman, and Vaishnava Sankhya will take into consideration Brahman and Paramatma, at least Brahman and Paramatma. So, like this. So Lord Krishna is explaining this here in relatively quite simple terms, actually, in this chapter of the 11th canto. And he has been describing for the last few verses we read on Saturday. And, well, on Saturday, yeah. How Lord Brahma, at the beginning of creation, or not exactly the beginning, but in the earlier stages of creation, the process had already begun. But then, after Garbhodakshaya Vishnu lay down on the Garbhodak ocean at the bottom of the universe and the lotus flower manifested from his navel, then Lord Brahma appeared on top of that lotus flower and then began his work of arranging the universe. All the ingredients were already there, and even all the living entities were there. Everything was there, but it needed to be put together. And when it is put together, that is what we call the manifest material creation. And before it's put together, particularly when it's in the completely raw phase of just the ingredients all mixed up together and they need to be extracted from each other, then it's called pradhan, or the unmanifest stage of matter. Right. So the Lord glances on the pradhan before the creation begins, injects the living entities within his glance into material nature, along with the Kala Shakti, the potency of time, and along with the Icha Shakti, the potency of his, the Lord's, desire. The Lord's desire, of course, is that the living entities, the conditioned living entities, will get the opportunity to take to devotional service again and become devotees again and go back to Godhead. That's the Lord's desire. So these are all different factors in that very initial part of the creation. It's called Sarga, the creation by the Lord. And then what we're reading about now, Lord Brahma, taking all the ingredients, putting them together, and producing the planetary systems, the species of life, and like that, is called Visarga, or the secondary phase of the creation. So Lord Brahma then appears on the top of the lotus, and he's alone. And he's just looking around in that very sort of materially elevated position, very high up, looking around the whole universe, and there's nothing, there's nobody, as far as he can see. And so he is perplexed. What to do? Even, who am I? What am I doing here? What should I do here? And then he heard the sound of the Gavadak ocean beneath. So he started climbing down the stem of the lotus until he heard the two syllables, tapa. It was the Lord, it was Gavadakshai Vishnu speaking. Tapa. Tapa. Well, actually it's mentioned here. Tapa. In the context of Tapa Loka. Tapa Loka, we read, is the place for the Vanaprastas. Tapa means austerity. Tapa Loka means the place for those who perform austerity. It is the place for the Vanaprastas, because a Vanaprasta is meant to perform austerities. So, but anyway, Lord Brahma heard these syllables, ta, pa, and he got inspiration from within the heart that I should do this. I should perform austerity and meditation in austerity. So then he climbed back up and he did that. He sat and meditated in a very austere type of condition, no eating, no sleeping, simply meditating, sitting there. That's very austere. And he did that for a long time. And after some time, when the Lord was satisfied, the Lord appeared to Brahma. And Bhagavatam, if you read, I think it's the second canto, there it stated, when Brahma became qualified through performing those austerities and doing that meditation, when Brahma became qualified, the Lord appeared to him, the Lord walked up to him and shook his hand. This is what the Bhagavatam says. So it just shows this part of our Western culture appears to have its roots in something very profound, although many other parts of our culture don't. So anyway, in the previous couple, two or three verses, there were descriptions of Bhuloka, well, first of all, Swa Swaloka, Swarga, the heavenly realms, Bhuvaloka, which is an intermediate realm, and then Bhuloka. This here, this planet is part of Bhuloka. And Bhuloka means, or is, a middle level of planetary system. Bhuva is higher, at least it's higher in a geographical sense. It's in between, we read that. It is in between this level, the middle planetary systems, and the Swargaloka, the heavenly planetary systems, Indraloka, Chandraloka. Although, intriguingly, in one of the previous purports, what was it? Purport of text 12, it was said that Bhuvaloka was the residence of ghostly spirits. So anyway, then beneath the earthly level we just read is really the Tala level, Sutala, Atala, Vitala, and Patala. And these are gradually lower and lower levels, going down to Patala, which is generally understood to be a hellish level of material existence, an actual place, which is very... The conditions, just the like environment, the atmosphere, the weather, and those sort of natural conditions are very bad, and the inhabitants are very bad. You know, they're bad enough here. This is the middle. But there, we shudder to think. We truly shudder to think. Just bizarre in the extreme. So then, now in this verse we're focusing on, mention is made of even higher planets than Swarga. Swarga is the heavenly planets, top of which Swarga indicates a group of planets, like Bhuloka. This level means the earthly, the middle level planets, plural, not just this one. So Swarga indicates the heavenly planets, plural, top of which is Indraloka, the residence of Lord Indra. And the moon, Chandraloka, is included. And there are various others. In fact, so many of the prominent demigods, they have their own heavenly planet, which is one of those. Swarga, one of the planets making up that Swarga area. So now there are higher levels. Within the material realm, there are higher levels. And they are mentioned here. Mahaloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, and Satyaloka. Sometimes, at least Satyaloka, the term is used to refer to different levels of planets. Even sometimes the term is used to refer to Vaikuntha. But generally, more often than not, Satyaloka means Brahmaloka, the planet of Brahma, where he lives for the entire duration of the entire creation, and where his inhabitants live also for very long time. His associates there live for very, very long times. Indra, we mentioned the other day actually, in Swarga, Indra normally lives maximum one day of Brahma, usually less. Indra, any Indra rules for the lifetime of a Manu, and there are 14 Manus in one day of Brahma. Our current Indra, his name is Purandara, and I believe in the next Manu, who's going to be the Indra? Who is it? Who? Ashwatthama? Maybe Ashwatthama.
Yes.
Or maybe. Anyway, somebody is going to be the Indra. Someone we've heard of. Some known personality who's mentioned. He's going to become the Indra. So anyway, you achieve the Swarga realms, Indraloka, etc., through material pious activity, fruit of activity like demigod worship, not as they do in Chatsworth, but real demigod worship according to the Vedic literature, real demigod worship, which is, you know, not a small thing in terms of complexity and sophistication. So you do things like that, like worship the demigods, yeah, and perform different sacrifices, like very, very much fruitive sacrifices. Karmakandya. Karmakandya. You do Karmakandya, you go to Swarga, some part of Swarga. But now, we read here, in the purport, our commentators are referring to Srila Jiva Goswami and his purports to this verse. That, let's see, if you are a brahmachari and you practice celibacy perfectly, and we note, the purport does say, in some particular stage of your life, means perhaps not necessarily a what they call naishtik brahmachari. Naishtik means a brahmachari who never marries, just remains brahmachari and just fixed like that for the entire life. So someone who does like that, practices celibacy perfectly in some particular stage of his life, means at least his youth and up until he's, it would generally be for the young man, maybe 25 or something like that, they would then officially enter into Grihastha Ashram. So if they really practice celibacy perfectly, they could then go to Mahaloka, just see brahmacharis. And what would they do in Mahaloka? Would life be just one big supermarket or one big shopping mall or a big beach? It's a planet.
I mean,
well, we're just beginning to talk about that. So it is not just like some, like Indraloka, Chandraloka, these other Swarga, which are places for the fruitive workers who want, who are working to achieve fruitive results. So therefore, those heavenly planets, Swarga Loka, is just, they're just different places of amazing sense gratification. All the different experiences we have of different forms of sense gratification, eating something nice, etc., 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 all these different types of things. In Indraloka, Chandraloka, and the other Swarga planets, heavenly planets, all those experiences are much, much, much higher. And just as an example, someone who likes to eat tasty foodstuffs. Of course, everyone does in one sense, but people who are really, it's a major thing in their lives, then they have a type of body which they can eat a lot in, and in that way really relish that type of enjoyment on a higher level, but also more, and without, you know, the usual problems which arise from if one eats, you know, excessively. Whereas in the hellish planets, I think we mentioned also one time, someone who's very attached to eating, but all sorts of horrible things that are not fit for eating, sinful eating, but they are, you know, just into it. It is their focus. Then they, in the hellish planets, they may have big body, needs a lot of food just to keep it going, but small mouth. So they have to eat 24 hours a day just to stop dying of starvation. Yeah, just to stay alive. Anyway, Mahaloka. See, as we read, this Mahaloka, well, Mahaloka, it is a place for those who practice celibacy perfectly in some particular stage of their life. Normally it would be in the brahmachari phase. Well, it is for brahmacharis, rather. So they go to Mahaloka. The one who perfectly practices lifelong celibacy, not just in the brahmachari, that sort of relatively more youthful stage of life, but right through, they then go to Janaloka. Then, one who perfectly executes vanaprast, and of course one can only be a vanaprasta if one has already been a grihasta. A brahmachari would either become a grihasta and then a vanaprasta and then perhaps a sannyasi, or just remain brahmachari, or possibly be brahmachari through till at least the middle of the life or some point like that, and then become a sannyasi directly. But for those who are, they perfectly execute vanaprasta life, they can go to tapaloka. And those who execute renounce life, sannyas life, perfectly, they can go to satyaloka, brahmaloka, the highest part of the material realm. And what do they do there? Well, as we said, it is not just like some big field for sense gratification, where the supermarkets are bigger and they have more varieties of things from more parts of the world, and the prices are cheaper and like that. Indraloka, Chandraloka, it may be like that in principle. But there's a nice description, very clear description, in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Gopikumar went to these planets, and he stopped on, what was it? I forget which one. Anyone remember? Was it Tapaloka, Janaloka? It was one of these planets mentioned here. Either Mahajana or Tapaloka. Maybe it was Tapaloka. So, Gopikumar arrived in, shall we say, Tapaloka, and What did he see? He saw everyone was sitting in meditation. Everyone was in silent meditation. It's materially, it's a very high place. So it was very beautiful in like natural beauty. It was very beautiful, but nobody was doing anything. Like, you know, moving around and sort of utilizing the facilities, all that outstanding beauty, but rather everyone was just sitting there. And they were meditating on which form of the Lord? Some form of the Lord? Anyway, the form of the Lord, who one realizes through meditation, he was there. He was there. They were meditating on him. And Gopakumā, he is not, you know, the silent meditation type. He's more the boisterous Brijvasi type. He saw that form of the Lord and understood, this is my Lord. And he shouted out,